Did we just expose Colby Covington for not being that good? I mean, he looked terrible against Leon Edwards at UFC 296. And let's not get in too much on Leon Edwards. A lot of people were like, well, that was a boring fight. This is literally how Leon Edwards has always fought. Don't let those Kamaru Usman fights fool you. Leon Edwards defeated Colby Covington last night to defend his welterweight title at the UFC for the second time, the first time against Usman. His performance against Colby Covington left a lot to be desired, or did it? Leon Edwards shut out Covington, hands down. He went out there and imposed his will to show he's the better fighter, and he was by and large the better fighter. It wasn't even a contest, if we're being honest. Leon Edwards showed Colby Covington, you're not that good. You will always be second best. And Colby Covington always has been and always will only be second best in history. All the antics, all of the fan, all of that brought him all of this fame and nothing to show for it except for an interim title. And you know what an interim title tells you? I'm second best. Colby Covington, let this sink in for a second. Colby Covington will always be second best. At 35 years of age, he said young. No, at welterweight, 35 years old is old, almost ancient. You done, Colby. You called for Wonder Boy because he's 40 years old. You going back to beating up old people? I mean, think about it. He has no wins over currently ranked welterweights at all. Colby Covington, I love saying it, Colby Covington will always be second best. Let's talk about the fight for a little bit. We're going to be talking about UFC 296 and a lot of the fights on there, so let's get ready to rumble, as the words of Michael Buffer, or it's time, as the words of Bruce Buffer, his brother. I really liked what I saw out of Leon Edwards, although I won't say it was a fun fight to watch, so if you are a member of the website and you go and check out the Substack and stuff and get all that to your email, you would have gotten an article called Leon Edwards and Anti-Wrestling Technique. And this is an article I looked at, the Usman fights. I looked at some Gunnar Nelson and Rafael Dos Anjos. And I wanted to see what is Leon Edwards' protocol for a wrestler, because welterweight is full of wrestlers. You got Gilbert Burns, Kamaru Usman, Colby Covington, we got Shavkat Rakhmonov, who we're going to be talking about later, Bilal Muhammad. Welterweight is a wrestler's free-for-all world. And it's very odd to me, or it was, that Leon Edwards rose to the top. He's not a wrestler. And you'd think the best wrestler would be at the top, and we had Kamaru Usman at the top for a while. So he's not a wrestler. How did he get to the top? And is it anti-wrestling technique? Is counter-wrestling? And just how he shuts down these fights. So first, he likes to intercept and evade. Those two can kind of go in hand if your fighter's coming forward, but Colby Covington didn't go forward against Leon Edwards. Instead, UFC 296's main event featured Colby Covington backing up. Leon is a pressure fighter, but not like that. You follow what I'm saying? He goes out and he throws these long kicks. He'll do the push kick. That's the interception. Or he'll circle out the side if you're coming forward. He'll also look for those intercepting knees. He didn't really get too many of those because Colby Covington was petrified to come forward. So what does he do? He goes out there and he starts smashing the leg. Colby Covington didn't know what to do with the leg kicks until later in the fight. He was like, oh, maybe I should check these. And it wasn't until like round three he checked the leg kick. Leon's just like too good at fighting against wrestlers. And if you think about it, after he lost to Kamaru Usman, it kind of makes sense, because he was like, you know, I've got to be a better fighter. If this guy's going to be champ, and I'm going to meet him one day as he's the champ, I need to know how to beat him, and I need to know how to wrestle. And it turns out that pays massive dividends in a welterweight division full of wrestlers, right? So Colby starts looking for takedowns in round like two, and it just doesn't work for him. Yeah, they're too far out. Yeah, well, the first one he kind of like just leaned over, and you know, and a lot of people talk, oh, that's terrible technique, but like, this is MMA, you have to worry about punches and knees. You got to get to a leg while you can. And also, Leon's a southpaw. No, Colby's a southpaw. So Leon, his leg's right there. So yeah, ring cutting from Leon it was perfect. He didn't follow Covington around, but it's not like Colby would have known what to do if he followed him around anyway. You know, it was one of those things where it's like Leon's like, "I got you, bro. You're going absolutely nowhere." So, yeah, I don't know what to say. Like, low kicks definitely took a toll for Leon Edwards, and you could see like the bruising on Colby Covington's leg. Those worked a lot, and Leon's like, "I'm just gonna keep doing it. If you're not gonna do anything about it," I say it constantly. If you're not going to do anything about the low kick, if you're not going to check it, if you're not going to punish me with a cross, if you're not going to do something about the low kick, why should I stop? You have to give a fighter a reason to stop doing something they're having success with. Kobe didn't. So let's see. Kobe did manage to get Leon down more so than Usman. Not really, no. He got him down more, but he couldn't control position because Leon's gotten so much better off the ground. He loves the knee shield, and he used the knee shield there to get up in round, what was that, round three? And as he gets up, he fights the hands like he always does. And as Colby goes to break, he throws that left high kick. It's like, ooh, that almost landed. I was like, man, I hope it lands. Man, I hoped it landed. It didn't. It didn't land at all. It kind of sucked, but whatever. Round four early on, Colby Covington shot the takedown, and Leon almost cinched up that choke. And it goes to show, like, Leon's like, "I'm your daddy. Get over it. Your daddy Usman's gone. I'm his dad. I'm your grandpappy." Just beautiful performance. There was a couple mistakes that I saw from Leon Edwards that I didn't like. Simply the fact that he was intent on, like, he was determined to wrestle Colby Covington, and that kind of got him put in bad positions. But we saw with his grappling, like, he can get out of these bad positions even against these high-level wrestlers like Colby Covington. Round five, you know, he's throwing up triangles, arm bars. He almost gets a couple of them. Colby ended the fight on top. Didn't get the finish for Leon Edwards, but it was like a clear shutout. Maybe you can give Colby round five for the amount of top time. But yeah, I wasn't impressed by Covington, actually. 2 years layoff, he's 35. He was 33 the last time he fought, which is like the tail end of a prime fighter. And now he's like declining. So, you know, great on Covington for going out, but he's never going to be in contention anymore. I wouldn't be surprised to see Wonder Boy beat him, even though Wonder Boy is allergic to wrestlers, and he looked terrible tonight himself. Co-main event was Alejandro Pantoja and Brandon Royval. Royval couldn't get it done. Pantoja went out there, and he did the thing, and he did the thing right. I mean, he really did show what he was made of. He started out this fight super high pace, and that kind of, you know, let me down. I was like, man, you got to be smarter than this. You just went 5 rounds with Brandon Royval, so what are you gonna do? Not with Brandon. You went 5 rounds with Brandon Moreno. There's too many Brandons at flyweight. But Pantoja goes out and he takes on this Brandon Royval, who's an all-action fighter, and it showed in this fight. Pantoja managed to, you know, he managed to take advantage of Royval over committing time and time again. So he's looking for the hips. Alejandro Pantoja is looking for the hips over and over again. And Royval fell into the same trap. I'm going to step in, I'm going to square up, and I'm going to throw. And as soon as you get squared up, Alejandro Pantoja shoots the takedown. And he's such a good back taker. He's one of the best in MMA. There's some great threads on there. On Twitter, you can go see, or X, it's called now, I'm sorry. But you can go see that. They got plenty of them. I've retweeted a couple of them. But he's such a good back taker. Like, more people should be taking notes. But again, he's a flyweight. He has different energy requirements and stuff. And yeah, it's just a, you know, weird situation. Royval did kind of fight his way back into it, especially round five. And he was landing a lot of jabs, a lot of just snapping back Alejandro Pantoja's head. And I was thinking, man, maybe Royval might, because Pantoja was gassed. But he's such a gamer. Like, it's crazy to see a flyweight gas. And if a flyweight gasses, you know he put out some action, because, whew, those guys could go forever. So Royval thought he was getting back into it. Gets taken down again. Same thing. Overcommits. Got in on the hips. So, you know, Pantoja, great win by him. I wasn't hyper impressed. I don't. Let's see what the rankings are for these guys. Let's see. Slash rankings. But yeah, Pantoja's good, but you know, you got Albazi, Car France. Yeah. So, meh. Whatever for Pantoja. I like it. What else was on this card? Oh, Wonderboy and Shavkat Rachmanov. Shavkat is the future. I told you we're going to be talking about him because he'll be fighting Leon Edwards either next or the one after that. Depends on if they want to shaft Bilal Muhammad or not. So, Shavkat, you know, he really wanted to get Wonderboy to the fence. He knows Wonderboy is not going to be the type of person that I can strike with. And Shavkat has good striking. He has like eight or 10 knockouts and then 10 or 8 submissions. I think it's 8, 10 knockouts and 8 submissions. So he's well rounded. But he knew, like, smart game planning. I know that I can't strike with Stephen Thompson. And Stephen Thompson, he's waned a lot. And you could see it in this fight too. He wasn't as sure on his feet. He got against the cage. He started panicking at one point when he knew Rachmanov was about to shoot on him. But he's looking for this sidekick, kind of similar to what we saw with Leon Edwards, which, by the way, it's a dream fight of mine. Leon Edwards versus Stephen Thompson. It'll never happen. But Rachmanov was like, oh, yeah, okay, we're good. I'm going to make sure you don't escape to my left. You can only go to my right, which is my power side. And that made Wonderboy nervous. And you could see it visibly, like, he's getting antsy. He's feeling back front, looking for the fence and stuff. And it's like, oh, Rachmanov has him scared. And, like, it's crazy that Wonderboy would be scared of somebody. But, like, when you look at Rachmanov compared to Stephen Thompson, he's massive. He looks like a middleweight. And Stephen Thompson's like a natural 170, or like he looks like a 170er should look. I was just wowed by the size difference. And, you know, the first round, it was kind of boring. Rachmanov just leaned on him, and Thompson couldn't get away. But the second round, Rachmanov got in on a leg a couple times. Wonderboy stayed up, clinching against the fence. He managed to grab another takedown, and Rachmanov started picking up the knee. Wonderboy jumped really high, and Shavkat said, gotcha. Threw him on the ground. Wonderboy did a good job of walking up the wall. Actually, we didn't talk about that from Leon Edwards, so let's circle back a second. Leon Edwards, he didn't have many options to do this, but when he did get taken down, he did a good job of walking up the wall, turning into the fence. So he's leaning against the fence forward and fighting the hand. So Covington can't, he's pushing his center of gravity forward. And Covington can't really drag him back because that center of gravity is pushed more forward than where his hips are, which is where Colby has the lock. And this gives Leon Edwards the chance to fight the grip and break the grip and break free. And Wonderboy tried to do that, but Shavkat was just too heavy. And one thing I really like, so he was chest to chest, and the hips were together, and Wonderboy's pinned against the fence. So it's like he can't really do much of anything. And then Shavkat backs his hips up and shoots down because Wonderboy's like, oh, I can get out. Shavkat gets on top. Well, what happened was Wonderboy was against the fence. After that, he lifted the knee. And Shavkat's like, oh, you're against the fence. And this is a new defense to the wall walk. I'm going to squeeze myself between you and the fence on your back. So you can't wall walk up because I'm the fence and I've got your back and the hooks him. Wonderboy covers up. Shavkat sinks in the choke and taps. Incredible performance by Shavkat Rachmanov. He's not a dark horse of the division anymore. He is a contender at large. I'm excited. I like Shavkat so much. He's one of my favorites. Shout out to Shavkat squad. We've been riding him since day one. Paddy Pimblett versus Tony Ferguson was hyper depressing. I mean, very depressing. Tony looked old, man. Paddy's not that good of a fighter, and he went life or death. Not really. Paddy controlled him a lot, and the reason I said this on Twitter, but the reason Tony Ferguson lost this fight isn't because he was actually old. Instead, it's because he was bonehead, hard-headed, and does what Tony Ferguson wants to do. You can't let that happen. Instead of like, oh, I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do right here and throw up a triangle, look for an armbar, slice him up off my back. That doesn't win you fights. You're losing every second of that position. Doesn't matter if you're doing the more damage. If Pimblett's on top, he's beating you. And that was the story of the fight. I was very, very depressed about that. You know, Paddy, he's cool, but he got a win over Tony. Now it's just such a hard slide for Tony. 7 straight. It's time to hang him up. David Goggins is going to have to find somebody else to carry the boats. Josh Emmett and Bryce Mitchell. Short fight. One of the most terrifying knockouts I've ever seen. Oh, so, you know, Mitchell kind of just couldn't get going. Stepped in on 2 weeks' notice to face him. I forget who Mitchell was supposed to fight. Not Mitchell. Emmett was supposed to fight, but man. So, what Emmett would do, he started throwing a jab up top and then a really long left hook to the body. That's a cool combination. I'd like to see him do it in reverse, so throw a lead hook to the body and then the right hook up top instead, kind of like Aliyah Taporia likes to do. He should know all about Taporia. But eventually, Mitchell's circling out. Josh cuts the cage off nicely, surprisingly. And as Mitchell steps in, Josh has already planted because he's cut the cage off. And right hook over the top, clean to the face of Bryce Mitchell. Right between the eyes, I think. And down goes Mitchell. One of the most terrifying knockouts you'll see because he's on the ground. He seizes up. He's shaking and he's like, oh. It's like, oh my gosh, bro. This is the first death in the UFC. I hope not. Bryce Mitchell. Ugh. We didn't get any Bible freedom things from Bryce Mitchell that I recall, but, you know. Whew, he got up and Joe Rogan was screaming about, put him on a stool. And I kind of agree. You know, I give Joe his fair share of criticism, but he's right. The guy's leg's going to get torn up or something just from not being on steady legs. We got to be smarter than that. Cody Garbrandt got a win. That was really cool. Aldana managed to come out with a win in the fight of the night. It was actually a pretty bully thing. Let's see. Who else was on that card that I missed? Cody Garbrandt's knockout of Kelleher was brutal. Oh, my gosh. He was almost as brutal as Josh Emmett. I was like, wow, Cody Garbrandt's back. And it's cool to see Cody Garbrandt go and get a win after an ill-advised move down to flyweight. But he had that, what, 3-loss skid. He beat a Sun Tzu with that hook. Lost to Font. That horrible Kai Car France decision to go down to flyweight. But then he moved back up to bantamweight, and he's beat Trevin Jones and Brian Kelleher back-to-back. So, you know, I don't quite remember the Trevin Jones fight, but this fight, I'm going to remember. He knocked out Kelleher, so, you know, good on him to get that win. Aldana Lipsky beat Casey O'Neill. Gary's upset. Tagir Ulanbekov versus Cody Durden. Rear naked choke. Andre Feely beat Lucas Almeida. I got that one wrong. And Shamil Gaziev versus Martin Boudet. Second round knockout. Anyways, guys, that's it for UFC for the year. Kind of sad. What's our next card? Next week we got Joshua and Wilder fighting on the same card, but not each other, which is lame. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's Ankalaev and Walker that are starting us off for next year. You got that. Nicolau versus Manel Kopp. Okay, Ricky Simone's back. That's cool. Louisiana's Macy Chasson. Let's go. Arlovski. Norman Dumont and Yana Santos at 145. I thought they trashed that division. Preston Parsons, Fareed Basharat. Okay, I like Basharat. Let's see. Weston Wilson is fighting again. I don't know why he's still in the UFC. He really isn't. Yeah, he got beat up by Brito. Ooh. Anyways, guys. That's going to be it for me today. I'm still playing with the new camera, so if video quality is not up to par, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure this thing out. This is not my iPad anymore. This is an actual action camera, like a GoPro type thing. DJI Osmo Action 3 is what they call it. But, you know, I'm working on a studio since we're doing this live podcast every week. That's going to be it for me. I'll catch you guys on the flip side. Doo-doom. Later.